11, and we're going to begin a five message series that I've entitled, Can I Live by Faith? Can I Live by Faith? Now your book, you open your book, you look at it, and it just says, by faith, okay? And so I think, really in my heart, there were two burdens that I have, and it's kind of both these questions combined into one, because we hear so many times, someone says, well, we need to do that by faith, or we need to have more faith, we need to have the right type of faith, we need to have faith that God can take care of that, we need to live, the Bible says, by faith. And then the question really is twofold, I think, by faith, like what exactly is that? How exactly does that look? And I kind of have this idea in my mind. TV certainly has its idea of what faith is. The world certainly has its idea of what faith is. But what we're looking for is Bible faith. In God's Word, we're commanded to live by faith. So the question then becomes to us is, can we live by faith? Can we actually do it? Because it is, perhaps sometimes it's a challenging thing to do. Sometimes it's something that, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes we sit in church and we hear a lot of preaching, we know a lot about the Bible, but when it comes to this area of faith, we seem to be maybe grasping at something that we can never take hold of. It's something that perhaps we feel that I have to be older in order to understand it. Something maybe a little more wiser in order for me to live by faith. It's something that my parents do, but not something that I do. But I believe the Bible is clear to this direction, is that even young people, even teenagers, each one of us can live by faith. And so we're going to look at this over the next few weeks and study some people and their example of what it means to live by faith. But we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the hall of faith, as this chapter has been referred to. And the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We skip down to verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. If we look down a little farther, the Bible says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, even as the song that we sing tonight, that we're not, our permanent dwelling is not this earth. There is something that is far greater than living this life, and is living in eternity. And the Bible tells us that these people, they did it in verse 14. It says, for they say that they declare plainly that they seek a country. The Bible tells us that they're looking for a country in verse 16, whose builder and maker was God. They desired a better country, and God was not ashamed to be called their God. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We'll continue to read in verse 20. The Bible says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the two sons of Joseph. In verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. In verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses. Verse 27, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The Bible tells us in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. In verse 30, the Bible says, and by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. In verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. As you go on through this passage, you'll see the Bible says that there are different people. Even in the Bible, it says in verse 32, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, also and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others tortured not, accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder," meaning into pieces. "They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receiving not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Father, we thank you for this lengthy passage of faith. Lord, a list of many, many men and women who had faith, and by it, they did great things for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to come up to this truth and to see that it is possible that, yes, we can live by faith. And that as we realize that, that we would, in fact, live by faith. And that's what you want. For the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Father, we ask that you'd help us understand these things tonight. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Look, when I read this passage, one of the first things that I begin to think of personally is I think, man, what a great story. Man, look at that guy. And man, look at that guy. And he did this. And here was Moses. And he stood up to Pharaoh. And he took all those people and he led them out in the desert. And he split the Red Sea. And he went through the Red Sea. And they went into the Promised Land. And Joshua and the Israelites, you know, they circled the Jericho 7 times. And it fell down. And by faith, all these guys did incredible and great things. And I think to myself, man, how come that doesn't happen to me? I mean, how come that isn't part of my life? What's the deal? I remember talking to a guy just a couple months ago, and he was praying about a certain situation in his life concerning a vehicle, and it didn't come to pass. And then he was praying about a certain situation concerning a job, and the job fell through. And he made this comment to me on the phone, which really began these thoughts that I want to share with you over the next few weeks. But he said this, he goes, "I guess I don't have the right kind of faith. I guess I don't have the right kind of faith. I need a different faith. I must be doing something wrong." As if to say faith was something, some way where like you kind of, you know, held your tongue like, you know, like this real hard, and you kind of, you know, and you had this, you just some way you stood, or you know, you kind of aligned yourself with the stars, and if everything worked out, you know, I've got this faith, and man, everything's starting to move. The Bible says that if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, that you can move a mountain. Have any of us ever moved a mountain? You know, I used to think, I'd go, man, you know what? Man, I know I have some faith. Man, I can imagine those other guys who were moving mountains, how much, you know, their faith was about this big, the size of mustard seed. Man, I hardly have any faith at all. I need to go and find more faith. Where can I find it? I pray and say, God, I need more faith. Whatever it is, that faith out there, God, I need more because I want to do more for you. So God, please, you know, bring it, pour it, whatever it takes, just give it to me because there's things I want to do for you. There's a way I want to live for you, but I need your faith. This is a difficult thing, and I don't know if I have the right type of faith. That's a valid question, a valid, perhaps, misconception of what faith may be. In the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is written to a group of believers who have come out of the Jewish religion, and they begin to trust in Jesus Christ. They're now trusting in Christ as their Savior instead of trusting in their good works. But they're being discouraged because people are persecuting them, because some of them are dying. People are after them. They're ready to kill them for their belief in Christ, for their propagation of the gospel. And their faith or their belief in these doctrines or these teachings, what they're doing with their life, they believe it in their heart, but what they're living out in their life is beginning to grow less and less and less because of persecution. And so God, through the inspiration of Scripture, with the writer of Hebrews, writes to these people to encourage them to hang on, to not give up, to don't quit, to hang in believing about Jesus Christ, to keep preaching the gospel, to keep doing what the Bible says and the way the Bible says that they ought to live their life. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." See, some of these people were thinking, you know what, this is crazy. I started believing in Christ, I'm trusting Him to save me, but people start making fun of me, and people give me a hard time, and the world opposes everything I do, and every time I try to live for God and do what's right, the world hates it, and nobody likes it, and people make fun of me, and it's really difficult. This is a bumpy road. I don't really think I want to go down this road. And so the writer of Hebrews writes to these people, and he wants to encourage them, say, hey, keep on doing. Don't have a heart of unbelief, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And you can see other verses in Hebrews that would give indication that what is being written to are these people who are growing weak in their faith towards Christ, and they're about ready to give up and throw in the towel. We come to verse 11, and the writer of Hebrews gives a long list of a lot of Bible characters, and we're going to look at four of them specifically over the next month. But these writers, and you can put this down if you're taking notes in the book, you can put this down somewhere. These people, their lives are meant to be an encouragement to you. They're meant to be an encouragement to me. You know, sometimes if you're not careful, they can be discouraging, can't they? I mean, we look at Noah, and we look at Moses, and we see how it just seems like they were doing great things for God, and we may have a day where it kind of seems like nothing really happened, you know? We may have a day where it seems like we fail. We think, man, I'm just never going to make it. I'm just not going to cut it, you know? I can't live up to these guys. I can't do what they did. Well, the Bible puts these people in there to be an encouragement. Of these people ready to quit, throwing a towel. And the writer of Hebrews says, hey, I want you to look at this person by faith. They did such and such. They did this. And we're going to get into those in the next few weeks. But they did something for the Lord. But the Bible says that they lived by faith. And the encouragement to us is that we too live by faith. Can I tell you this, what faith is and what it is not? You can write a few things down here. First of all, tonight, faith or living by faith is not an exercise of continually jumping off cliffs, having no idea how you're surviving. Faith is not an exercise of continually jumping off cliffs, having no idea how you survive. And we use the illustration of the dad who catches his son. You know, the kid gets up there and jumps off. We use that illustration, don't we? But what is it that makes that illustration work? It's that the son believes and knows that his dad is going to catch him. If he truly, really had any thought that he wasn't going to be caught, unless he was insane, okay, he wouldn't jump. He wouldn't jump. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to, you just got to do it by faith. And we kind of see how it worked out. We have, well, no idea. I'll just live by faith. I'll walk over here. I don't know what's going on. I just live my life. I'll walk by faith. And man, a truck may hit me. This may happen. I just keep jumping off into some area I don't know anything about. I'm going to keep stepping out there and doing something, living for God by faith. I have no answers, no clue as to why I'm doing this. I'm just going to live by faith. I'm just going to, man, the whole thing work out. Living by faith is not continually jumping off a cliff having no idea what's out there. Okay? living by faith is not some object that the Christian chases after. A dog may chase after a rabbit. Okay? We may chase after a good deal at the store. Try to shop here and shop there and try to find it and try to grab a hold of it, obtain it. The cop may chase after the robber. But Christians do not chase after faith. It's not something that we chase after and then we get it and say, okay, I've got it. And now it runs away and I've got to go run after it again and catch it again. It's not an object. It's an action. Faith is an action. Living by faith is simple obedience to the commands of God in everyday life. You'll hear nothing tonight that's earth-shattering, perhaps just a reminder. But living by faith is simple obedience to the commands of God in everyday life. Guys, living by faith in high school and doing what's right, the Christian needs to live by faith. And if you don't live by faith, you cannot please God if you like. You will not. But understand that what faith is not something that I'm running after. It's not some object that I obtain to say, yeah, I have it, and I stick it in my back pocket. It is something that you do. Living by faith is something that you do. Why do I come to church? Now, some of us, we can come to church for the wrong reason, the wrong motivation, but hopefully somewhere there's a desire because it's what God says to do. God says there's a benefit in it. God says it's a blessing. God says it's a command. And although sometimes I may not directly see the benefit immediately, I believe what God's Word says, and it motivates me to do something. In this room, I think there's a lot of teenagers with a lot of one aspect of faith. That is this, is I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that we shouldn't curse. I believe that abortion is wrong. I believe that you should respect your parents. I believe you should be faithful to the house of God. I believe you should tell others about Jesus Christ. I believe you ought to be baptized after you're saved. I believe this is what I believe. I believe in the Trinity. I believe, and we could go on and on and on. You guys, we could write a whole doctrinal teaching book about the Word of God with the knowledge that you all possess in this room, that we possess in this room. But understand that that is, yes, a type of faith. For I believe those things. But then the question becomes, how can I live by that? And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where it gets difficult. Question tonight, are you living by faith? See, the things that you know about God and the things that God has told you through His Word and through His teaching, are they what you are living after? Are those what guide your life? Are those what shape the actions and the things that you do in your life? Can we live by faith? Certainly we can. Moses did it. Abel did it. Rahab did it. King David did it. And we can too. These people are nothing special other than the fact that God said, hey, I want to use you. And they said, okay, I'll do whatever you want. See, faith into their life, when the Bible says they lived by faith, what the Bible is saying is not that they just continually, they closed their eyes and just walked around never knowing what they were going after. But God said, God gave them some direction, God gave them some commands, and they said, okay, I'll do it. They didn't put up a fight, they didn't put up a fuss. They said, hey, I can see that sometimes it didn't make sense. I mean, after all, Abraham was asked to offer his only son Isaac on an altar. Didn't make sense. If it had told it to someone other, the only reason that it made sense is that Jesus, or that God said to do it. And he, by faith, obeyed the Lord. Whether you're in 7th grade or whether you're in 10th grade, you can have a life that is characterized living by faith. We see on television these guys who run around like crazy and people come up on the stage and they've got crutches or wheelchair and they say, "Do you have faith?" And that's even the wrong, it's even the wrong question to ask, really, because it's not something you put in your back pocket. It's something that you do. It's a way that you live your life. You have all the faith that you want in your mind, but that's not what the Bible is asking us to live by, although that's part of it. What the Bible is more interested in is how it works itself out in our day-to-day life, what we're doing with that. And say, "Yeah, I have faith, but I watch bad stuff on television." Well, then you certainly, we're not believing what God says about the wages of sin. We're not believing what God says about the detriment that wicked things that will corrupt good manners. We don't believe that. Otherwise, we would live by faith and do live out what the Bible says. That's what these men, if there was any difference in these men than there are from the average person walking on the earth today, is it is not because of something in their DNA, but simply because they believed God. And they, by faith, lived out what God told them to do in their life. Someone once said that taking faith is taking God at His word and acting accordingly. Taking God at His word and acting accordingly. There needs to be, in this room, in this youth group, there needs to be more. And it's not just the youth room, it's in our church. It's for every saved person today. There needs to be more, less belief, okay, if I can say it like that, and more faith, okay? Because we all believe a lot of things. You know, we'll watch things on TV and say, "Well, I don't believe that. Oh, there's an evolutionist that says 40 million. I don't believe them. I believe the Bible, yeah." And we have a lot of beliefs up here. But there needs to be more faith, and not by that, I don't mean more of this, but I mean more of this, going out and doing it, and living it, and speaking like it, and acting like it, treating other people like it, and sharing the gospel like it, and cleaning up my life like I actually believe what God's Word says. That is living by faith, taking God at His Word and acting accordingly. God says no, and I say okay, by faith. It has nothing to do with building an ark. It has nothing to do with separating the Red Sea. It has nothing to do with watching the walls of Jericho fall. But it has everything to do with you obeying God. With me obeying God. So, Pastor Owen, what about that passage about the, you know, about the mustard seed in the mountain? About having faith so that you can move a mountain. Well, first of all, I'd say this, is that that is, I believe all my heart, would be more symbolic, okay, than it is about literal, where you can literally move a mountain. Can God move a mountain if He wants to? He put it there, He can take it away, He can move whatever He wants. Can God make a man powerful enough to do that? If that's what God so desires, He could do that as well. But we see in the Scriptures where that is, there certainly were miracles that happened around the time of Christ and some unusual things that took place. But I think what it is that with faith in God, in simple obedience to God, we can do great, incredible things for the Lord. And you know what? None of us, and there's probably no one in here that ever built an ark like Noah built an ark. Now you may. I don't know why you would, but you may. It's not about doing something great even in the eyes of history. Can I tell you tonight that some of you may go to this church for the rest of your life? You may graduate from high school, and you may get a job here in town, and you may work, and you'll be a hard worker, and you'll do, and you'll live your life for a love for God, and wanting to lead people to the Lord, and see people saved, and being faithful to the things that are in God's Word, and that is just as great as building an ark. It is just as great as being like Enoch and being translated into heaven, not even dying, going and being with God in heaven. It's just as great as being like King David and leading the nation of Israel. It's the same thing. There is no difference. And if I can get one thing through you tonight, and that is this, is that these people are they're there for an encouragement. They're there for our exhortation to build us up, understand that they did it, and we can too. Certainly, different times, God called on them to do different things. But today, there are different times that God calls on us to do different things. There was probably no door-to-door souling in the time of Noah. Okay? There was no public high schools that they could go and they could be a witness at and a testimony at. But today, God calls us to do that. And so, we want to, by faith, obey God.
Anybody ever heard of Adoniram Judson? He was a missionary.
And it's recorded over thousands and thousands and thousands of answered prayer requests that he had. And he wrote a book. He has the journals and everything. He says, you know, I prayed for this, and God answered the prayer. I remember one night they were an orphan they were taken care of, and he was praying. They had no food for that day. And so they were praying and praying and praying for that, and just praying, God, you know, there is a need here, and we need you to answer this. We have this need of food. And across town, the other side of town, there was a man who could not sleep. He was the owner of a bakery. And he went to his foreman who was working through the night as they normally did, and he said, I want you to get enough food together for breakfast, and I want you to take it over to that orphanage. So he began to prepare that, and he began to walk away, and the guy said, are you sure that's all you want? And the man turned around and said, you know what? He goes, make enough food for 3 days. He goes, I've got to get some sleep. He goes, I've not been able to sleep. The Lord's just been putting us, and I've been saying no, I've been saying no, I've been saying no. And they went and gave enough food to them to take care of them for the next several days. And you can read all things about that, about Adoniram Judson. Man, how incredible to be a part of something like that and for to see God answer prayer and do things like that. Well, teenager, understand that God does. The reality is that God did that with thousands and thousands of people, even in the day of Adoniram Judson. Probably the only reason we hear about it is because he was faithful enough to write them down in a book somewhere. And if someone else would have, their story would be told too, because God is good, and God worked in the time of the patriarchs, and God worked in the time of Paul, and God worked in the time of Adoniram Judson, and the same God is still alive and working today. And so we can pray, and we can see God answer the need of prayer. Listen, go ahead and you pray for food for an orphanage for 3 days, and you won't get it. Why? Because none of you have an orphanage. You don't need to have food for that many people for that long. But if you had one and you needed it, you could pray for it, and God would give it to you. So we think about this. What is it that I need in my life today? What is it that I need in my life? How, God, I can pray to God, and not it's not like I go, you know, and I pray for this, and it doesn't happen. You know, last week we prayed and said, Lord, we'd really like to have a baby today. You know, Lord, come on, you know. And it didn't happen. Wake up, man. You know, I made it through another night, you know, a perfect sleep without a baby. I don't know what I was trying to wish that away for. You know, and Tuesday night we pray, and we'd wake up in the morning, and nothing. And then Wednesday night we prayed, and nothing. And then here we go all the way to Friday night, and we needed help to get the thing out. We say, well, Pastor Loman, you didn't have enough faith. Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it, but it's not the Bible way of looking at it. Now, certainly, I can obey God better in my life. But you know, I believe with all my heart that God knows. Here's a couple of things. Nobody knew that our baby's umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. And every time that they would put the medicine in my wife to kind of help the labor along, the baby's heart rate would drop. Well, the reason why is it was trying to come out and there was tension being pulled on that cord. And the reality is if my wife's body would have begun to go on labor on her own, and everything were to be fine, there's a good chance the baby could come out and it could have hung itself. And so on this side of the experience, we look and say, you know what? And we prayed for weeks that God would just let her go into labor and that we'd have this baby. But you know what? It was God saying, no, I have a better way. It may not make sense. And people may have an opinion, and certainly people, they do have an opinion. People may ask you a million times, when is that baby coming? You may get tired of answering the same old question and going through through the same thing. But God had a plan. I believe there's even more to it than that, even with the doctors and with the nurses that we're able to talk to through our experience. But see, teenager, when you pray and something doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that you're missing faith, because faith isn't something that you obtain, you put it in your back pocket, you hold up in your head, you hold your tongue the right way, so that everything kind of clicks and it goes together. Faith is something that you do. And so I live by faith, and I know what God wants me to do, and so I go and do it. I should. That's what I should do. And it's not so that, even if God never does one good thing for me, the rest of my life, I still should live by faith. Because I believe God's word more than I believe the world. I believe God's word more than I believe the devil. I believe God's world more than I believe the television. So I believe God. And I live my life the way God wants me to do. And I live by faith. And leave everything else to God. It is something that I do, not something that I can possess, or something that I don't have, or something that I'll get when I'm older. No. Even a child is known by his doings, the Bible says. The Bible says of these people in Hebrews 11, that these, having obtained a good report, a good testimony. Why? Because they lived by faith. They lived by faith. Somehow we elevate this because we think, when they had a robe and he had a staff. I mean, look at him, and he could fold his hands so good, and he had a staff, and he had a long beard and this thing around his head. So that must have meant power and God, someone special in his life. And that certainly is probably the way that they dress in their life, and those are the things they did. But there wasn't anything special about them. Think about it. Who is it? Who is the one that was special? Anybody? God. It's the same God that we serve and that we live for today. So we want to walk by faith. We want to live by faith. Again, it's not a way you hold your tongue. It's what you do. The Bible says this in James chapter 2. Faith without works is death, being alone. And there's this kind of argument back, well, I believe this. He says, yeah, but faith without it being worked out in your life, without you doing something with it, it doesn't really matter. And that's the truth. It does. Faith is something that we can obtain. Faith is something that we can do, but it is not something that we put in our back pocket. It is something that is lived out in our life. Teenager, can you live by faith? Yes. Are there times you feel like giving up and quitting? Because the whole world, most of the world, is not yet. But we believe God. This, and we're done, they have said, it's been said, that faith is only as good as the object that you put it in. Okay? We could bring Riley up here, and we won't, but we could bring him up here, and I could say, all right, I'm going to stand on this chair, Riley, and I'm going to jump off, and you catch me. And I jump off all 200 whatever pounds of me, and I jump out there, and what's going to happen? I don't think so. We're just going to... Okay, now what if I said we'll get all the guys together, and I know you guys would probably be tempted to just let me fall anyways, but if you're really going to catch me, I could say, let all the guys, and I'll just jump out there and let you, all the guys in the room, catch me. Which would be more likely to be caught, all the guys or Riley?
Riley.
Not a chance. Why? Because that faith, that dependence or trust, is only as good as the object that I put it in. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says this, verse 2, looking unto, who's the word?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. It begins with the cross. It begins with the fact that Christ died on the cross for sin, and that we place our faith, our heart, our total dependence is put in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Jesus Christ and the fact that He died on the cross for my sin, He was buried, and He rose again. I'm not trusting in my good work. I'm not trusting in me being a good person. I'm not trusting in going to church. I'm not trusting in reading my Bible. I'm not trusting in a bunch of facts that I know in my head. But in my life, my dependence, my whole being, my whole eternity My soul is completely in Jesus Christ alone. And I'm looking to Jesus through this life. When I am tempted to do what's wrong, I need to look to Jesus and have faith in Him and remember what He did for me and remember the world that He created and remember that He's not only the author of our faith, who began it, but He's the finisher. He's the one that's going to finish it and complete it all. And there is coming a day when I will see Jesus face to face, and there will be no more need for faith, for we will see Christ and we will know Him, and it will be much easier to live our life for the Lord because we'll see Him one day. But by faith, I believe that I'm looking to that day, and my actions are accordingly to the truth that I find in the Scripture. Can we live by faith? The answer is yes. Yes, we can. How do I do that? By standing, and lining myself with the stars and having the right zodiacs and all those other things? No, it's by simple obedience to the Word of God. Teenager, are you obeying God's Word tonight? Is there something in your life that God may be working and say, you know what? Here's an area where I'm not living by faith. I know what God's Word says, but I've had a real hard time following through with it. I've had a real hard time completing this out in my life. And what it takes, we can live by faith, but we have to, first of all, do this. We have to admit that we're wrong. We have to admit, you know what, the way I've been doing this isn't right. And we have to be willing to do it the way that God wants it done. To live by faith. Can we? Yes.